Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. The quality of our lives, the shape of our communities, and the productivity of our nation's economy rests on the existence of a safe, secure, and efficient transportation system. Today, the U.S. Department of Transportation stands at the forefront, promoting an efficient and interconnected national transportation system. The success of such a critical mission requires a department to effectively manage the administration of its resources and its workforce. With us this morning to discuss her efforts in this area is our special guest, Linda Jacobs Washington, Assistant Secretary for Administration at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Al.
Also joining us in our conversation is Pete Boyer, Director in IBM's Federal Civilian Industry Practice. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Al.
Linda, let's start off by learning a bit more about the organization. Many of our listeners are probably familiar with the U.S. Department of Transportation, but can you give us a sense of its overall history and its mission?
I would be happy to. And as you mentioned in your opening remarks, Al, there is no citizen who is not affected by transportation. Everyone who takes a bus or a metro to work, who buys groceries or drives on a highway, flies in a plane or rides a train, does so because DOT is doing its job. The Department of Transportation was established by an act of Congress and signed into law by President Johnson in October 1966. Its first secretary, Alan Boyd, took office in January 1967, and the department's first official day of operation was April 1st, 1967. Now, no April Fool's jokes, you guys. In fact, we've just celebrated our 40th anniversary. And as you mentioned, our mission is, it's really pretty simple, because we're charged with supporting a national transportation system, which is the most complex and, by the way, the best system in the world.
Now, that's a fantastic overview, and you've begun to touch on the size of the organization. But to give us a better sense of the general scale of DOT, can you tell us a little bit about how the department is organized, its overall budget, number of employees, things like that?
Sure. The department has a budget of more than $67 billion, with a staff of about 54,000 men and women. Most of those men and women are air traffic controllers. And we're organized by modes, which is a great definition of the different organizations within the Department of Transportation, because modes stand for the modes of transportation: planes and boats and trains and trucks, rails and highways and airways. In fact, we have employees all over the world, including right now staff who are helping to rebuild the Iraqi transportation system.
Linda, now that you provide us with a sense of the department, could you tell us more about your role? Specifically, what are your responsibilities and duties as the Assistant Secretary for Administration at DOT? And could you tell us about the areas under your purview, how you're organized, the size of your staff, your budget?
Sure. As the Assistant Secretary for Administration, I have a great responsibility because I manage all of the supporting infrastructure, everything but IT. And that includes human resources, procurement, security, printing and graphics, photographic services, transit benefits, facilities, and building management. So it's my job, quite frankly, to make sure that the heat and the lights are on, that the security guards are in place, and that the staff in the building is safe. I have a staff of 212 employees that work with a cadre of contractors with a budget of a little more than $400 million.
Okay. Now, regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the three most significant challenges that you face in this position, and how have you addressed these challenges?
You know, that's an easy but a difficult question. The most difficult challenge had wonderful results, however. As you know, we recently moved into our new headquarters facility at the Southeast Federal Center, which is right next door to the Navy Yard and the new Nationals baseball stadium.
Yes.
I was responsible for overseeing the construction, the build-out, and the employee move. This is an 11-year project, over 3 years of construction, and an 11-week move period. Now, I have to tell you, moving 5,600 people with all of their stuff over 11 weeks was no walk in the park. So that has probably been one of my biggest recent challenges. We meant it, but it involved a lot of logistical planning and relationship building with our contractors to get it done. Now, another challenge that I had, and I didn't really think it was a challenge at the time, but I was holding three jobs. I was serving as two deputy assistant secretaries and the acting assistant secretary for administration simultaneously for 2 years. The good thing is that I had and continue to have very capable staff who are self-directed and who provide good counsel. So this allowed me to focus my efforts on the big picture with the knowledge that everything else was under control. And now here we are in an election year, and the huge challenge is what we call transition. So in less than 300 days, we will have a new administration. We will be transitioning outgoing leaders and transitioning incoming leaders. Now, while that may seem to you like an easy task, I have to tell you, it requires enormous planning, logistics, teamwork, and diplomacy. But after building a cabinet-level headquarters building, I have to tell you, I think this is going to be a piece of cake.
That's great. Linda, I understand that you spent some time at Xerox and at the Library of Congress before coming over to DOT. Could you describe your career path for our listeners and what brought you to the federal government?
Sure. I began my career with the Xerox Corporation, where I held numerous sales and marketing and management positions. And the last position I held was in management with Xerox Business Services. I will tell you, at Xerox, I was fortunate to receive a wealth of management training that provided me invaluable skills for my career. And then an opportunity presented itself to work for the federal government. Wasn't looking to leave Xerox, but a friend of mine sent me a posting for a senior position at the Library of Congress. And so I decided to apply because it was interesting, and I was hired. And again, I wasn't looking to leave Xerox, but I thought, gee, my education and training background was a very natural transition for me from the private sector to the public sector. My first position at the Library of Congress was as the chief of the photo duplication service, which was a fee-for-service operation. And of course, having come from Xerox and with looking at the bottom line, ensuring that we had a profitable organization, this was a good transition for me. However, within 1 year after being successful in that position, I was asked to take on the position as director of integrated support services. This position included management of contracts and logistics, printing and mail operations, health and safety services, facility operations, again, the supporting structure of the Library of Congress. However, I was also the library's designated agency safety and health official, or what we call in the federal government DASH show. And I was responsible for managing critical incidences, including the September 11th and anthrax scares. One accomplishment at the Library of Congress that I'm very proud of is that I started the library's internal university, which provided training and education programs for the more than 4,000 employees there. I have a bachelor's and master's degree in education. I'm also a trained facilitator. So this program was very dear to me as we worked to improve training for the library staff. I was fortunate to implement a library-wide training program entitled Facilitative Leadership, which empowered staff to work together to make decisions. So we go forward, and here in May of 2003, I joined the Department of Transportation as one of the two Deputy Assistant Secretaries for Administration. Now, this gave me an opportunity to use what I'd learned at the Library of Congress to manage the same types of programs I was managing there, but on a much larger scale. Then in May of 2007, I was selected by the secretary and approved by the president as the Assistant Secretary for Administration, and here we are today.
That's a fantastic story. So as you reflect back upon your career, both at Xerox and at the Library of Congress, how have these experiences prepared you for your current leadership role, and how has it shaped your management approach and perhaps your leadership style?
Well, you know, as a manager and a leader, I really have an inclusive approach to management. I believe that everyone has something to offer. So all stakeholders should be involved in the decision-making process whenever possible. And Xerox provided me with excellent management skills, so I feel, quite frankly, I can manage anything. If I have the subject matter experts working with me, I can put the process in place to manage anything. I have the ability to identify the right people, and then I leave them alone to do what they do. I truly believe in this concept of facilitative leadership. You know, when I sit in my living room with a half dozen friends, I hear more than six different opinions to whatever we're discussing. That's valuable and powerful stuff, and I like to bring that same inclusiveness to the workplace. I just like to get a bunch of folks around a table in the office and beat the idea up, challenge each other, and come up with a better idea than any of us would have ever had alone.
That's fantastic. What about transportation's human capital strategy? We will ask Linda Jacobs Washington, Assistant Secretary for Administration at the U.S. Department of Transportation, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.